This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Breaking news, engaging talk, news that affects you. The KUMA Coffee Hour, brought to you by the Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon on News Talk 1290 KUMA and FM 96.5.
The edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour is next. Joining me this morning in the studio is Pendleton Mayor John Turner. We are going to start our conversation right after this.
The Pendleton Roundup and Happy Canyon invite you to enjoy Nashville Troubadour, Kip Moore. Saturday, September 10th, to kick off the 2022 world-famous Pendleton Roundup. Pendleton Roundup. Tell her she's mine. Kip Moore, MCA Nashville singer and songwriter, will perform Under the Stars in the world-famous Happy Canyon Arena, presented by Integrity Corp. Get your tickets today in the Party Pit Letterbox Zone. Tickets are on sale right now at PendletonRoundup.com. Kip Moore. Pendleton Roundup. You won't want to miss it. Letterbox.
Keeping you informed on local issues. Back to the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Well, good morning. It is Wednesday, August 17th. Dan Tesman here with Pendleton Mayor John Turner, and we are talking about the Pendleton Development Commission that happened last night, as well as the City Council and all other things related to the city of Pendleton. Mayor, thanks for joining us this morning.
Dan, it's going to be a hot one out there this week, I think.
That's what they're telling us.
Well, we had a full PDC meeting last night, and so most of our listeners know that the PDC, the Pendleton Development Commission, is the city's urban renewal group, and they meet once a month. And last night we had a number of committee reports. The Grants Committee that normally reports did not meet, because we're going to go into this in just a moment. The grants process is under review, and the city needs to make a decision on what we're going to do with grants. So we'll get into that in just a minute. We've got a Jumpstart Committee, and one of the things that they have been working on over the past year is what's called a Path to Success. This is a business plan competition, and they had 32 entries, not all of them from inside the city of Pendleton. I think we had some entries from Adams and Hermiston and so forth. But a week ago, they boiled these down to the top eight. And so they're going to meet tomorrow on Wednesday, or actually today on Wednesday, August 17th, to determine who the three winners are. And the three winners will get a $20,000 prize, most of which will be a forgivable loan and some help with getting their businesses started and getting their new business plan off the ground. And Charles Knight was very, very positive about the effects of this thing. And so it won't just be the three winners that will benefit from this, but I think all 32 of the applicants will get something out of it. So we'll look for the announcement on that at our next city council meeting in the month of September. We have a lot of work being done by our advisory committee. The advisory committee is kind of a policy group that talks about how the PDC should be run. And we've, over the last 20 years that we've been in business, I think 19, in the beginning, we didn't give out a lot of grants. And then along the way, more and more interest picked up. And a lot of folks were buying properties downtown. And so we were given grants fairly freely. And about a year ago, we were looking at our cash flow over the next few years and said, well, we can't be quite as generous as we've been in the past. So the advisory committee has been working on what the grants process might look like, and they've made a number of recommendations that we can go into if you want.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Well, first of all, the advisory committee wants to meet with the PDC in a work session, and we're going to do that on August 30th and go through all the stuff we're getting ready to talk about. But one of the things we're going to do is move the grants to a quarterly basis. Instead of just being able to put in a submit a grant request anytime, you'll go on a predictable cycle. And not all grants will be every quarter. So probably a couple of them, let's just say Jumpstart and Fresh Start, would be available maybe in quarters one and three, whereas a rejuvenation grant or an upper story or facade grant might be available for quarters two and four. So we're going to restrict the amount of time each year that you can put in for a grant. And now the grant maximum is up to 40%, but we can't keep sustaining that, particularly on some of these multi-million dollar projects that are out there. So we're probably going to look at a grant that would be 25%, but without a cap. And there might be higher percentages on a one-by-one basis for certain types of projects, just depending on their value to the city. Next, any funds that were budgeted by quarter and didn't get expended would be moved into the following fiscal year. That would allow us to build up a little bit of a reserve so that we can keep the PDC functioning in a meaningful way year after year. Finally, we want to split the funds between public and private projects. So, for example, over the last few years, to date, the PDC has spent about $4 million on downtown streets. In the current fiscal year, we've budgeted about $1.5 million. And we're not going to be able to keep doing that forever. We're making a difference downtown. I'm very proud of all the projects that are going on, not just in the PDC area, but throughout the city as far as street paving goes. But I think you can look for the amount of money being spent on streets to go down over the next few years. Finally, the demolition grant is probably going to go away. And we might even talk about phasing out the Love Your Home program. That's the one where if you own a piece of property and you want to get some money from the PDC to fight blight, do some needed repairs and stuff, well, that was a program for that. And it was amazingly popular, and we've probably given out more Love Your Home grants than we possibly anticipated. And it's putting a strain on our ability to do some of these other projects like second story grants. So that might get phased out over the years too. So then in about another year, we'll take a look at what we've done and see if we're on the right track or not. But we'll probably end up extending our line of credit, borrowing more money as we pay it back. We get a little over $1 million a year in tax increment funding. That's how we run the PDC. And that money built up to a fairly large amount over the first 15 years of the PDC, which we've been giving out in grants. But now we're just going to have to scale that back a bit.
Yeah, you can only slice the pie so many ways.
Well, you can't borrow more than you can pay back either.
Exactly, exactly. Well, thanks for that update. Anything else before we move on out of the PDC that listeners should know?
No, I want to congratulate the advisory committee. They've worked very hard on this. It's something that we've needed to do. And the workshop that we'll have at the end of August will probably, we won't take a formal vote, but we'll probably pave the way for a vote that would be taken then in September as to how we're going to modify the grants program.
All right. Well, let's take our first break, and we're going to come back, talk more with Pendleton Mayor John Turner, get into some of the items on last night's city council, and much more after this.
It's time to fly. At least we always think it is. The Walwal Regional Airport and Alaska Airlines are excited to serve you, our traveling public, and to see all the fun destinations you choose. So purchase your ticket today at alaskaair.com, pack your bags, and have fun exploring. The Walwal Regional Airport makes it easy to begin your trip with daily Alaska Air flights to and from Seattle and beyond. And remember, free parking. Fly Walla Walla. It works.
Is pain altering your life? Listen to Tom Penner and how the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton has helped him.
I was having some lower back pain. It was a steady ache, and you wouldn't feel like doing anything. And an MRI, x-rays, and all that good stuff. And they were talking surgery, and that was way down at the bottom of my list.
How effective are the ozone treatments?
A lot of days I can go without any back pain at all. I didn't know it's there.
If you suffer from chronic pain, call the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton, 541-276-1752.
The City of Pendleton wants to help you replace your old, uncertified wood stove with a new, more efficient heating system. We're offering interest-free loans up to $3,500 to help you buy a new stove that could be natural gas, pellet, electric, or wood. With our program, you save money and you help clear winter haze and smog in Pendleton. It's a win-win for everyone. Call 966-0249 or visit the city's website for more information on the wood stove replacement program.
stop in and visit the Community Thrift Shop in downtown Pendleton. It's no ordinary secondhand store. This little gem offers a boutique experience at thrift store prices. Stop in, and stop in often, as the gently used donations hit the shelves daily. Your donations of gently used vintage and antique items are always appreciated. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 10. Follow Community Thrift Shop on Facebook, and remember, all proceeds from the Community Thrift Shop proudly support Heritage Station Museum.
This is Brian from Burns Mortuary. Did you know that Oregon law requires other vehicles to yield the right-of-way to a funeral procession, and drivers are required to stop at intersections and allow a procession to pass? Other vehicles may not drive between or join the funeral procession. It's the law, and it's also the right thing to do. Thanks for doing your part in the funeral procession safety. Burns Mortuary of Pendleton, serving Umatilla, Union, and Grant counties for over 80 years.
Local news, local issues, from the area's only live and local morning show. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back on a Wednesday with Pendleton Mayor John Turner, and we were talking the last segment about the Pendleton Development Commission agenda from last night. Now we're getting into the City Council agenda, and I think we're just going to jump right into the new business Mayor, and I think first item of business was involving runway 29 at the airport.
Yeah, Dan, so we get money from the FAA to repair and maintain our runways, and we were pleased to be the recipient of a fairly substantial FAA grant to take care of what's called a hot spot at the end of runway 29, and we'll get into that in just a minute. Because there was other parts of this grant, the new taxi lanes and the apron rehabilitation were part of that too. And it was a $6.7 million project. We received a number of bids on, and the low bidder was an outfit called High Desert Aggregate. And so they got both an award for $4.6 million for the airport improvement plan, and there was an additive bid of another $2 million in that. So what's a hot spot? The way I understand it, it kind of corrects some confusing geometry where the taxiway enters the threshold of the runway, and it makes the runway safer for public travel. And it's just been a problem out there for years, and now we finally got the money to fix it. So this will be a nice improvement to our airport. As we know, we've already started the renovation of the terminal. That's about a $4 million project that will go on for the rest of this calendar year, probably into 2023. But that includes, you know, that building's old. It includes new restrooms and wiring and Wi-Fi inside, and the tower needs to be renovated. We've moved everybody's office out of that and dispersed them all over the airport. So you'll see that project going on now well into 2023, and it's going to be a great project for us. So there's a lot of good stuff happening up here.
I'm going to have you explain this next one, membrane replacement. This has to do with water, if I recall.
Yeah. So we approved a bid last night for a little over $2 million to replace a lot of membranes up at the airport. Actually, 30 of them. So when we built the water filtration plant in 2003, it opened it in 2003. At that point in time, it was kind of a state-of-the-art membrane. It's a reverse osmosis process for pulling water through these membranes that don't allow a lot of pollutants and even some viruses to get through. And so it allows us to produce really safe, clean drinking water for our community. And these membranes that are in there have actually lasted longer than we thought. So by purchasing 30 new membranes, we're going to be able to increase the amount of water that can be processed by the water filtration plant. And why is that important? Well, because in the winter, we pull water out of the river. When the river's running at a certain height, we're allowed to pull water out, and we treat it and pump it back down into the aquifer, and it's a recharge system. So this year, the river ran high for a long period of time. Remember all the rain that we had, and we pulled a record number of gallons of water out of the river, and it put it down into the aquifer. So even when we have really hot days like today and people are watering their yard, we probably put somewhere around $1.8 million gallons of water on the grain mill fire. That's all potable water that comes out of the membrane. that's treated by the membrane and put into the aquifer. So by approving these new membranes, we'll be able to pull more water out of the river in the winter, pump it down into the aquifer, and make sure that the city has enough drinking water and water for use for a long period of time.
All right. And then some other items on the agenda. Public right-of-way vacation. Request to vacate a public right-of-way. Is this an area that I guess we'd be familiar with, John?
Oh, yeah. This is kind of, the city owns the right-of-way. So it's city property. And we have a homeowner out on the east side of town who has a small piece of right-of-way that will never be developed. There's no utilities running underneath it or anything like that. But he wants to terrace part of his yard. And so he's asked the city to vacate the right-of-way. So what has to happen, because the city owns that, we have to tell the Planning Commission, yes, it's okay for you to consider this. Otherwise, the Planning Commission wouldn't have the authority to do it. So this was just kind of a routine, and it passed unanimously. We'll never develop this small piece of ground, and hopefully it'll help the homeowner.
All right. And then Convention Center staffing request, staff report, and recommendation was on the agenda. And from everything I hear, Mayor, the Convention Center is staying really busy.
Yeah, this is a good news story, actually. Pat's booking more and more events. The caterers are making more money down there. But he's shorthanded, like a lot of businesses around town. And so he's had to depend on the last year with temporary staffing and part-timers. And so when you get a temp in, you may get a really good employee, or you may get somebody that works 2 or 3 hours and just quits and goes away. And Pat's got a lot of nighttime events up there, so he needs to be able to schedule enough full-time employees to make sure that we deliver a quality product. He was 54% over budget in overtime and comp time last year, and that adds up real fast. The cost of a new employee is about $63,000 a year. That's salary and fringe benefits, and it makes sense. Pat's spending that amount of money out of his budget in overtime right now. It just made sense for us to add another person to help him out. And he'll be able to hire a quality individual that he can depend on, particularly at nights.
All right. Well, we are going to take our next break, and we are going to come back, continue our conversation this morning with Pendleton Mayor John Turner after this.
Check out our archives, podcasts of past KUMA Coffee Hours, online at mycolumbiabasin.com.
You know you must be doing something right if you have customers who have been coming to your store for over 40 years. Here's Bruce Giannotti on why he has shopped at Zimmerman's since 1979.
I've been shopping there over 40 years. I've renovated quite a few properties, and I buy everything from nuts and bolts to toilets and hot water tanks and everything in between. They always seem to have what I need. If they don't, they can get it usually within 2 or 3 days.
Zimmerman & Company True Value, open 7 days a week on Main Street in downtown Pendleton.
These high gas prices are affecting all of us. Letter Bus Transit is trying to help reduce your fuel bills by having bus routes run 11 times per day to over 20 bus stops conveniently located throughout the city. You can even save going to the grocery store because they have stop at Walmart every 50 minutes. Their handy mobile app lets you track your bus in real time so you don't waste time. So start saving money today and Letter Bus. For more information, go to the City of Pendleton website.
Awareness of mental health struggles has never been more important than in the last few years. Here at McKay Creek Estates, through our wellness program celebrations, we seek to engage our residents in activities that bring joy and fulfillment. If you'd like to learn more about mental health in older adults, we're hosting a free webinar with geriatric mental health specialist Laura Valancourt. That's on Friday, August 26th at 10 a.m. Laura will offer advice on how to understand your loved one's struggles and best support them. To register, visit PrestigeCanHelp.com. Again, that's PrestigeCanHelp.com.
The Wild Horse Ladies Golf Classic is looking for volunteers. Come be a part of the exciting Epson Tour as over 140 professional golfers from around the world compete for a spot in the LPGA between August 29th through September 4th. As a volunteer, you'll receive official tournament duties, a uniform, and off-shift meals. No golf experience necessary. All volunteers are welcome. Sign up online at wildhorseresort.com and be part of the excitement.
Planning, looking ahead, it's a good practice. Michael Stratton with Stratton Insurance
discusses why people buy life insurance.
There's dozens of reasons to buy life insurance, but when you boil everything down, typically people purchase life insurance because they owe it to someone or because they love someone. Life insurance has evolved. It's changed. It's become more expansive and actually less expensive over time. The products that we have available today are more efficient and they do more for you. It's no longer death insurance. It really truly is life insurance. If you get sick, get hurt, have something debilitative happen to you and you can't perform two of the six daily tasks of living, you can receive a portion or a majority of your death benefit while you're living. Spend it any way as you see fit.
Let's sit down together today and see how life insurance can benefit your family. Stratton Insurance, one responsible source. Follow us on Facebook. See us in Pendleton, Hermiston, LeGrand, The Dalles, and online at stratton-insurance.com.
Let's get back to the area's only live and local morning show, the KUMA Coffee Hour, on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Pendleton Mayor John Turner, and we've been talking PDC and City Council, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the other things you're involved in.
Well, Dan, each year the Oregon Mayors Association has an annual conference, and the one this year was particularly important because we're lining up our legislative priorities as the state gets ready to have its long legislative session in February. And so we want to make sure that our priorities are in line with the League of Oregon Cities so that we can both lobby together for things that we decide are important to us. A couple of issues that came out of this year's conference that I wrote down were homelessness and housing. And that's not just affordable housing, but it's housing kind of for all levels of income. And homelessness has become an increasingly prominent problem throughout the state. And there's no easy solution to this. Part of it, we can get into Measure 110, but there's a lot of people out there in the homeless community that need some help with addiction and with mental health. And so one of the items that we have identified as important to all of us is try to address some of the shortcomings that came out of Measure 110. Measure 110 decriminalized possession of drugs, and it also took away the mandatory treatment of people. It's kind of voluntary now. And so you're seeing people entering treatment programs at a much lower rate, I mean a small percentage of what they were just in the previous years. And so we need to figure out some way to make sure that people that need treatment for drug addiction actually have a strong incentive for attending those programs. That's a big one. You know, also in Measure 110, the state marijuana tax that used to come to the cities was pulled back, largely now goes entirely for support programs for Measure 110. And so that put a big dent in the amount of revenues that the cities were receiving. In Pendleton, we use ours for our streets mostly. And so we want to lobby for an individual city marijuana tax. Right now, the city can charge a maximum of 3% sales tax for any marijuana sales, or cannabis, as most of the people in the industry would say. I guess I'm outmoded by saying marijuana. But anyway, what we would like to see is for the cities to be able to tax cannabis sales for up to 10%. And that would backfill these dollars that we're no longer getting from the state. So that you can expect to hear about more of that during the upcoming session. Money for housing was a big deal. The Oregon Housing and Community Services Agency is going to lobby the legislature for $800 million in the coming year. Now, let's put that in perspective. Last year, they had $300 million to spend, which was more than double than what they get in previous sessions. So housing is quickly rising to the top as an important issue, not just in Pendleton, where it is one of our major goals, but throughout the state. And then finally, infrastructure is a big one. So what I want to talk about that, one of the asks that we have going into the legislative session is $5 million to help us put in a what we're calling a workforce housing road out on the east side of town in what's commonly known as the Goad and Reese properties. It would be put into a revolving loan fund where anybody that developed properties off of that road would have to pay us back for their share of the monies that we spent. So it would become a revolving loan fund for the city that we would have for future infrastructure projects. So Last time I was on the show, I mentioned a $1.5 million ask that got put into the federal budget for the appropriations and coming out of the Infrastructure Act that has not been formally passed, but just getting our request into the formal bill itself is a big victory. We still have some county money left. The county was generous and gave the city $2 million for workforce housing roads and housing projects in general. And so right now, if the money, the federal dollars come through, we'll have about $3 million to spend on that workforce housing road. We think the cost of that road is probably about $8 million. So we're going to ask the state for $5 million. And the state has money that they're going to put into housing and infrastructure. So we'll just see how that ask goes.
And as you look into your crystal ball, if you will, for that Reese Goad project, can you describe to us what that land has the potential to hold in the future?
Yeah, there's up to 250 acres that are developable up there, Dan, and I think that we would anticipate that most of it would go into housing. So that's more than 1,000 homes that would go in there. You know, you could put in some high-density stuff like townhouses and maybe cottage cluster if you were going to do some affordable stuff. And we're working with the Reese family right now and their developer. So it'll be housing and very much needed housing. We're doing well on the housing market. We're set to hit probably as much as 300 housing permits this year. Most of that is the 204-unit apartment complex that's going in across the street from EOCI. But we've got another 70 units of affordable housing going in on the east side of town. That's Terry Silvis and the Horizon Project. We've got a bunch of individual homes going up, that sort of thing. So, you know, our goal is 50 units a year. We've probably, over the last few years, averaged close to 100 units a year. And we hope to keep that going by opening up the Goad and Reese properties out there on the southeast side of town.
And is the Pendleton Hotel progressing as planned? The old Marigold.
Yeah, so the name is still Marigold. I think the gentleman that is in the process of buying that doesn't want to rename it the Pendleton Hotel until he's kind of cured some of the problems that were associated with the hotel as we know it today, the Marigold. You know, there were some drug use in there and some crime and some homeless people in there. And the quality of the hotel got to be pretty poor. And he wants to rebuild it into a nice place, completely renovate it, redesign some of the rooms, that sort of thing. And he's got architects and engineers working on it. But until he gets that project started, he's only opening up a few rooms. I think he's got a few open.
All right. And about a minute left of your final word, Mayor. Anything?
No, you know, I'm generally pleased with the economy. We're short of workforce, so we've got jobs standing open, so we're working on that. But we're making nice progress on our city streets, nice progress on building more houses. You know, we've got like this business plan competition going in where we think the economy's looking pretty good. We'd like to be able to help the people from Grain Crafters as they try to recover from the big fire. We've got interest from the state. I've personally talked to all our federal elected representatives, senators, and Cliff Bentz from the House. They're asking their staff to look in to see what federal dollars might be there. So we're trying to work with them.
All right. Well, thanks for the update. And again, my guest, Pendleton Mayor John Turner. That does it for today. Back tomorrow.
Depend on us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.